Appreciate it. Take your Bibles, please. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. And all right. Thank you. Take your Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter 7. Thank you. You're great. You're great. Okay. Please sit down. Thank you. Please sit down. Oh, you guys are great. The most insincere group of people on planet Earth. It's good. Hey, I love being in chapel and you guys are killing me. Get my mask out here and put it on. Love being in chapel. You guys are great. Really, I mean it. Love you guys. And man, I want the best for you. I want you to serve the Lord. And I believe in you. And God's given us a great place, hasn't he? A great college, great group of students. Without fail, every time I preach in chapel, I don't preach a lot, but every time I preach, I always hear an announcement. And an interruption from Adam Hanks, but I always hear an announcement that cracks me up. What is it with the package of shoes? What is that? Who does that? I've sent some unmarked packages in my day. No, but to Congress. No, I'm just kidding. That's terrible. No, Abdel Karim Aissa Judah would never send some unwarranted packages, but who just sends women's shoes? I mean, some names are popping in my mind, but we have to preach. Anyways, that's funny. That's good. It's funny stuff. Take your Bibles, turn to Daniel. Are you there? Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. And we have a few minutes here to preach, and so Daniel chapter number 7. Well, I heard those announcements and those that have lost family. Let's pray for them. Let's keep them before the throne of grace, Brother Gomez and Nicole and others, and let's be sure to remember them and pray one for another. I like that about the people in this room. You know, there's a camaraderie here. There's a camaraderie that should be here and often is here that you won't find in the world. We love each other and pray for each other, believe in each other. Let's not lose that. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the message. Father, we pray that you would bless the few minutes that we have to preach. Lord, the simple thought that you gave me this week, God, I pray that you would help me to be fresh and new and to be used in the lives of these students. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We'll be in Daniel chapter 7 in a moment, but how many of you have ever owned something that wore out? You've ever owned something that just wore out? Raise your hand. I mean, it wore out. What was it, Phil? Phil, were you lying? Phil, did you have something or not that wore out? His hand was up. Look at him sitting on the front row. Me, Brother Judah. Well, what was it? Go ahead. That's a good recovery. Did you hear what he said? He said, just a few Bibles. I've worn out a few Bibles. Okay, Phil, I'm sorry. How many of you ever seen that vehicle that Phil drives? How many of you ever, you seen that thing? Come on now. I think we should put that on the next promotional video of Hiles Anderson. God will miraculously take care of you. You will drive things like this, and they will not wear out. Unbelievable. But no, we've all had things that have worn out. Speaking of vehicles, I had a Mercury Mountaineer just a few weeks ago. Man, some of you have been in my soul-winning car. You've been in that thing. That Mercury Mountaineer, I don't know what year it was. It was like when the Bears won the Super Bowl, man, 85. No, it was old, and it was worn out. My wife and I looked at each other. We made an agreement. We said, when it was getting old, you know, breaking down, I just looked at her and I said, hey, let's have some fun, save some money. Let's run the wheels off of this thing. That's what I told her. I said, are you with me? You want to have a wife, gentlemen, you want to have a wife that will agree with you on things like this. And I said, are you with me? Phil, if you find a woman that, no, I'm just kidding, but note to self, sell that thing, get a sedan, all right? But I said, let's run the wheels off of this thing. She said, okay. And so, I mean, that thing, we should have gotten rid of it a year ago, but we have finally wore it out. I mean, it was fading. There were things on this car that should never break on a car that were wearing out. My wife was going around the corner one day, and she had the kids with her, and the door just flew open. Now, there's a lot of things that can go wrong in a vehicle, but when doors are flying open, it's wearing out. My kids were coming to me afraid, like, Dad, Dad, did you hear what happened today? No, what? The door just flew open on the car. Really? Yes. And they're saying, like, please, please, And it's like, hey, put your seatbelt on. And that's what God put it there for. This thing was terrible. It would just randomly die. And I figured out, you just put it in park, turn it off, turn it back on. It starts up. We're good to go. But a couple of weeks ago, it finally wore out. I was preaching in Houston and had my wife with me, and we dropped it off at the mechanic to get it looked at there in Cherryville, and the mechanic said it'll be $95 just to look at it. I said, oh, that's fine. He said, and then we'll take it off. You get the work done with us, we'll take that $95 off. I said, he said, just the diagnosis will be $95. I said, no problem. So we dropped it off, and we went to Houston. The guy calls us back a couple of days later, and he sounded sad on the phone, Is this Abdel Judah? Yes. I'm sorry, sir. like the bad news. And I said, what is it? He said, oh, it's your car. I said, oh, yeah. He said, it's the engine, the transmission. I mean, he's breaking this thing down for me, and we've done all we can do, But he said, look, it's not worth fixing. And I said, oh, I knew it was close. I said, that's fine. I mean, the engine was bad and the transmission was slipping. I knew it was bad. But I said, so I guess I owe you $95. He said, no. he said, you just keep it. Now, you know it's bad when it's almost like, save it for the burial costs. And you just keep it. That thing was worn out. I was preaching to our teens the other night and I brought this point up. I had an old, how many of you guys have a favorite t-shirt? You have a favorite t-shirt? I had, back in the day, I had an old Cubs loyalty t-shirt. I love the Chicago Cubs. This thing, Cubs loyalty. And I wore it all the time. My wife hated it, because I wore it every day, it seemed. And it was getting ratty, but I didn't care. It's my favorite t-shirt. She started hiding it on me. She would put it like underneath all the t-shirts that I never wear, and I'd be, hey, you see that Cubs shirt? No, I haven't seen it. No. I find it at the bottom of the drawer, oh, here it is. I took it to camp once, and it got torn up, a big hole in it. I brought it to my wife. I said, I want you to fix this. Can you sew it up? And she sewed up this t-shirt. Man, I wore it out. Eventually, we gave it a proper funeral, and eventually, we got rid of it, but it was worn out. Are you with me? Tired, broken down, limping, worn out. Daniel chapter number 7. Live if you would, in verse number 24. The Bible says, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. Of course, being in Bible college, this is prophetic. Daniel chapter number 7 is prophetic, talking about the events that have happened in kingdoms of the world and eventually the events that will happen someday. And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. Now speaking of the Antichrist, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and They shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Here we see that someday the time is going to come where the Antichrist, the Bible says, will wear out the saints of the Most High. Where the people of God who should be alive, who should be energetic, who should have joy, and he will put them through such tribulation and through such turmoil. The Bible says that he will literally wear them out. Will wear them out. Now, young people, that's going to happen someday. But today, God does not want us living a worn out Christianity. God does not want us to faint. God does not want us to quit. God does not want us to slowly fade and wear out. Young people, he tells us to occupy until he comes. Amen. He wants us working. He wants us busy. I love what the verses say. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding. There's an energy there. There's an activity there. There's a spark of life there to be always abounding. I like what Paul said when he came to the end. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course and I have kept the faith. Hey, Paul didn't wear out. He didn't wear out. He said, I fought a good fight and I have finished my course and I have kept the faith. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Listen to it. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And as we sit here today in 2021, there's a lot of events happening in our country. There's a lot of sin that is prevalent and a lot of things that could wear out a Christian. But I submit to you, we should be like Paul. We should be always abounding. We should be pressing towards the mark. I've met a lot of Christians who are worn out. Tired, fainting, are you with me? Weary, worthless. I've been through the grind of college. And sometimes you sit there and it's like, oh, you're worn out. Now listen, get some sleep and take a nap, not during the message preferably, but do what you gotta do. But watch this, young people, watch this. We ought to be alive unto God. Now is not the time for Christians to wear out. Now is not the time for Christians to slowly fade. Now is not the time. The world needs us, young people. The world needs us to shine, to stand, to advance, to be bold, to preach, to win. Hey, don't wear out. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall weep if we faint not. There are some even in this room. You're going to wear out. You're going to wear out before you even get through with the semester. You're going to wear out. You can feel it settling in right now. I can see it. You're going to wear out for God. And I don't want that for you. Worn out Christianity. What wears us out? What is it that... Hey, it's not circumstance. I mean, you look at all that Paul went through. Look at the shipwreck and all that he went through. And yet he could say at the end, man, fought a good fight, finished my course, kept the faith. He didn't wear out. It's not circumstance. What wears us out? Got a couple of thoughts and a couple of points, and we're going to be done. Maybe even early. We'll see. What wears us out? I see two people that I want to bring to your attention. As I look at my Bible, two people were wore out. And what wore them out will wear us out. I see his hands strapped to a mill, leather. I see him walking in circles. His feet are bloodied. Feet walking around and around in this circle, in this dusty coliseum. His feet are cracked. He's been walking 24/7, tied to this mill, worn out. the bulging biceps and broad back that at once carried the very gates of a city, now worn out. You could see it in his eyes if he had eyes, but he doesn't have eyes. His eyes have been plucked. He's a laughing stock. Where he used to be a champion, where he used to be a great judge of Israel, now he's worn out. Now all he can do is just put one foot in front of the other. Now he's being mocked and laughed at and jeered. And now Samson, that mighty judge whose exploits are many, worn out. Worn out. The strength that seemed boundless, the energy that you could not contain, now gone. Worn out as he grinds at the mill. Once a leader, and now he's worn out. What did it to Samson? What was it, young people, that wore him out? What was it that caused him to fade? What was it that zapped him of his strength and energy? It's real simple. Hey, it's real simple. You know the answer. It's the same thing that'll wear me out, same thing that'll wear you out. Sin. Hey, let's never get past the point where we can't deal with our sin. Listen to me, college students. Sin will wear you out. Sin will steal from you the joy of the Lord, where you should be abounding and happy in Jesus and energetic. You let sin creep into your life, and it will slowly steal from you that strength. It will slowly wear you out. Lest when it's conceived, bring forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It'll wear you out. I'm talking about that stubborn sin, that willful sin, that sin that the Holy Spirit has been talking to you about, and you've been quenching him, and you're not willing to deal with it. Let me tell you what'll happen. When it's finished, it will wear you out. Steals the boldness and the confidence that a Christian ought to have. The Bible says the wicked flee when no man pursueth. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. Always looking across your shoulder, always nervous about who's going to find out. All the energy that it takes to sin and to cover and to lie and to hide, and sin will wear you out. Hey, it's not worth it. Can I just stop and say, it's not worth it. Don't let sin steal from you the strength that you ought to have to serve Jesus in these last days. Sin will wear you out. Samson found out. I don't know where I read it. I don't know where I heard it. But Samson found out that sin blinds, binds, and it grinds. That's what it'll do to you. Sin will blind you, bind you, and eventually you'll grind. You'll grind. And it's endless, isn't it? And it'll wear you out. Young people, we need to deal with our sin. I mean, first week of the new semester, let's deal with sin. I'm talking about secret sin, hidden sin. Sin that is in this room that quenches the very spirit of revival that God wants to bring. And it's wearing us out. Tired, weary. Because of sin left undealt with, sins in the past that we've never confessed to God and forsaken. We need to deal with our sin. Sin will wear us out. Sin that we hang on to and ignore the Holy Spirit about, and the war. God is trying to get your attention. Young people, God's trying to get your attention about sin. Things that you're doing that shouldn't be there. A direction that you're headed that you shouldn't be going through. Turn to Judges. Let's find it. Judges chapter 13. This is a neat part of this story. Judges chapter number 13. We're talking about Samson, right? We're talking about sin. I believe with all of my heart that it was Samson's sin that wore him out. But watch, God was trying to get his attention. And you know, there's some of you sitting here right now. Man, God's trying to get your attention. Hey, it's not too late. You can still turn from your sin. You can still get right with God. You can still, but we ignore the warnings of God. He sends warnings through song. He sends warnings through sermon. He sends warnings through class and friends, but we ignore it. And we don't even realize that it's wearing us out. But I like what Pastor says. We need to run right and run light. In other words, deal with our sin. We're not going to be sinless. We can deal with our sin. Look at the Bible. Look at Judges 14. This is an interesting part of the story, often overlooked. The very first verse, the Bible says, Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughter of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Hey, watch this. Samson had a moral problem. You agree with that, don't you? Do you agree with that? And it wore him out. Samson couldn't stop looking at things he shouldn't be looking at. He couldn't stop talking to people he shouldn't be talking to. He just couldn't stop. He had a moral problem. It was wearing him out. Yes, he was great. Yes, he was strong. Yes, he had a voice. Yes, he had potential. Unbelievable. But eventually, this sin wore him out. Verse 3, his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. He said to his dad, I don't care what you think. I don't care what anybody thinks. This is what I want. There's people who feel the exact same way in this room when it comes to your morals. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care. That's old-fashioned. That's old school. Yeah, and it'll wear you out too. But you know, even as bad as Samson's attitude was, look at this in verse number 5. When Samson went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. You know, this is interesting. You want to know what I see here? You can debate it with me, and I might not be right, but this is what I see. I see God giving Samson another chance. Think about it. Here he is at the very place where he's going to sin. He's walked that road to Timnath. He's there to get this woman that he should not have, and God sends a lion in his path, a lion, like the adversary of the Christian. Be vigilant. The devil walketh about as a roaring lion. God was saying, Samson, don't do this. Samson, there's a lion that's going to destroy you. Don't do this. And Samson went right on by, didn't he? And that sin wore him out. He ignored the warnings of God. And young people, I wonder if we really knew who it was back home that's concerned about you. Worried about the attitude. They can see, it's easy to fool some of us. We don't know you. It's easy to fool us, but there's people that are scared to death, and they're praying for you, and they're fasting for you, and they believe in you, and you're walking down a road, and there's sin in your life, and God is trying to get your attention. You better deal with that sin. Want to know the two most dangerous sins in the room? I've told this to you before, haven't I? There's two sins in this room that are more dangerous than any other sin. I'm going to give them to you right now. They're here in this room. They're right here. The first one is the sin that doesn't bother us anymore. The sin that you commit that used to bother you. You used to feel a little conviction from the Holy Ghost. It used to concern you when you gave into the flesh. But now, for whatever reason, now, it doesn't bother you. Now you can look at it and listen to it and text it. You don't feel anything, do you? Friend, you're going to wear out. I'm begging you to deal with your sin. I'm begging you to just humble yourself before God. Just look into the eyes of God and say, you're right. And this sin isn't worth it. Sin will wear you out. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter number 6, verse number 11, the Bible says, I'll read it for you. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. There's some of you that, hey, you ought to be alive unto God. Amen. What's stealing that life? Sin. I don't need to list it, name it. Nothing wrong with naming sin. I'm certainly not afraid to. The Holy Ghost does a pretty good job of it, doesn't he? He knows more about you than I do. And I beg you, if there's sin robbing your joy, deal with it. The sin that doesn't bother us, how about this one? The sin we think we're getting by with. That's a dangerous sin. That sin that we just commit and commit and commit, and we know that it's wrong, but somehow, somewhere, we've justified it enough in our mind to think that we're getting by with it. We're not getting by with it. You say, well, Brother Judah, nobody's ever going to know. Maybe not. Maybe not. But you know. God knows. And it'll wear you out. Sin will wear you out. I see another man worn out. Boy, he's worn out. I see him in the book of Matthew going to the chief priest. He's got a bag of money. It's not very much at all. He throws it at their feet. They kick it back to him. He picks it back up and he says, I don't want it. I don't want it. And he throws it at their feet and they laugh and they kick it back to him. Boy, he's worn out. He takes his measly silver and he has no one to talk to. He has nowhere to turn. He's absolutely hopeless. He sees a branch on a tree and he ties a rope to the branch. And somehow he thinks, I'm better off dead. You know who I'm talking about. He ties a noose around that rope, gets on a stool, places his neck in the rope. Worn out. Hey, tired. Just completely robbed of all life and hope and purpose. Worn out. Do you see it? We read these Bible stories as if they never happened, as if they weren't real people. Man, how desperate does a man become to actually put a noose around his neck? Perhaps the sermons of Christ were ringing in his ears. Perhaps, I don't know what was going on in Judas Iscariot's mind and heart, but he was worn out. He slips off of that stool and he hangs himself and he starts to sway there, dead, lifeless. You ever notice in Matthew the Bible says that he hanged himself, and Acts the Bible says that he fell. Do you ever notice that? He fell and his body burst out of him. It's kind of nasty. But you ever see that? Seeming contradiction? It's not a contradiction. Here's what happened to Judas. He hung himself. Then he swung there. Nobody cared enough to let him down. He had no one left, man. You talk about the picture of desperation. Eventually, either that rope broke or that branch broke. I don't know what exactly happened, but as his body baked in the sun and was bloated, eventually, whatever was holding him broke, and he fell to the ground, and his tight skin, bloated, broke. Sad. Worn out. Nothing left. Where it could have been, hey, could have been one of the 12, turn the world upside down. That's what he could have been. He was worn out. What wore out Samson? Sin wore out Samson. What wore out Judas? I've just this simple message. Forgive me. Judas pretended to be someone that he wasn't. And it wore him out. Let me tell you something, friend. It'll wear you out too. Judas lived a life where everybody thought that he was one thing, but he wasn't that thing. Everybody thought that he was just like Peter, just like John, just like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, just sold out to Jesus. Boy, but they collect those offerings, and where everybody wanted to give them to the poor, where Judas saw that, and he thought, oh, no. How can I get some of that? How can I keep some of that? Judas was an actor. He was a pretender. Judas pretended to be someone that he was not. And while it worked for a while, it only lasted about 3.5 years, because eventually that kind of life will wear you out. It's not worth it. And you're sitting here right now at Hiles Anderson College. Man, you're sitting here right now, you got your hair cut and got your tie on and got the Bible in your hand, and you're on the prayer sheet back home. College students pray for that. They pray for you on Wednesday night, and everybody thinks that you're doing great. Hey, but are you acting? Hey, that'll wear you out, won't it? That fake smile only lasts so long. It only lasts so long. Eventually, it'll wear you out just like it did Judas. There's a verse that was quoted here not that long ago. I think Pastor quoted it. We all know it, but when he said it, it hit me a certain way. He quoted Psalm 103, verse number 1. I believe it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," and here it is, "and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." And it just hit me when he said it, just hit me. All that is within me. Hey, are you serving God today with all that is within you? Let me just stop and say, there is a strength and an energy and a life and an almost supernatural, unexplainable power to those that serve God with all that is in them. But when we act, it wears us out. Let me tell you what we don't need in 2021. We don't need worn out Christians. We don't need Christians that aren't working, that don't work the way that they should. We don't need it, friend. Hey, the cause of Christ will be hurt if we wear out. Johnny Pope preaches a sermon, and I've heard the sermon. He goes, "This is no time to go wobbly," and it's true. This is not the time for you to wear out. We need you, teenager. We need, hey, Hiles Anderson student, we need you. We need you to not wear out. Sin will wear you out. Pretending to be someone that you're not, it'll wear you out. Let's be alive unto God. Would you bow your heads, please? And close your eyes. Worn out. Tired. Worn out. I hope you're coming, and I hope the prayer on your lips is, "God, I don't want to wear out." Man, the complications of sin, hiding, lying, covering, wear you out. Let's be right with God. God, give us an energy. God, give us the ability to finish this thing. Say, "Brother Jude, I'm worn out, man. I don't know. It's been a long time. I'm worn out. What do I do?" The Bible says in Hebrews, "Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners, lest you be weary and faint in your mind." That's what the Bible says. Oh, you're in your seat. You're on your knees. Think about Christ. Think about his love for you. And realize that the sin isn't worth it. Give it all to Jesus. Only one life, so soon it'll pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Consider him, young people, on your knees. Consider him, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. Some young people here on the verge of fainting. You're tired. You're worn out. Don't think about Brother Judah or whatever. Think about Jesus. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, all of it. Bless his holy name. I don't want to wear out, man. I don't know how much longer we have. I hope it's a lifetime. But I don't know how much longer we have. But when my time comes, man, I want to finish my course with joy. That's what I want. Be victorious. I want that for you as well.